Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM Teleconference Enterprise Performance Management with Tivoli Omegamon XE for DB2PE. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. And finally, today's call is being recorded. And now for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Sally Tuscany. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for joining us today. I know most of you already own either our Omegamon for DB2 tool or the DB2 Performance Expert or Performance Monitor. Today we're going to discuss advantages to migrating to the new technology of the Tivoli Omegamon for DB2 PE solution. Our speaker today is Doug Clifton. Doug is our Senior Consulting IT Specialist for Information Management Tools. Now I'd like to turn it over to Doug.
Thank you. Good day, everybody. I'm Doug Clifton, IT Specialist with IBM's Z-Series DB2 Tools. And today I'm going to be presenting Tivoli Omegamon XE for DB2 Performance Expert, along with information about the Performance Monitor product. The presentation has been designed in such a way for current owners of Omegamon and current owners of DB2 Performance Expert or Performance Monitor will gain an idea of what you will receive when you upgrade to the complete converged product. As everybody knows by now that IBM has acquired Canon Corporation, and we've converged the Omegamon DB2 monitor along with DB2 Performance Expert, and then there's another product, Omegamon DB2 Performance Monitor. And they're very similar products, just a couple of small differences. So in this particular presentation, I'm going to go through a very fast, high-level overview of the converged product. I'm sure many of you have already seen detailed presentations of this complete product. Then I'm going to go through and talk about what is new to the Omegamon users, what is new to the Performance Expert, Performance Monitor users, and then also give you some information about what is new in the converged product since the product has gone GA. There's been a lot of exciting changes. So if we go from the title slide to the next slide, please, standard disclaimer and trademarks. So I won't make everybody read through that right now. If we go to the agenda slide, please. As I was mentioning, I'm going to give you a quick overview of the product. I'm going to go through what is new for the DB2 Performance Expert, DB2 Performance Monitor users. What will you find in this converged product? And then what is new for the Omegamon users, users who are not familiar with Performance Expert and Performance Monitor? What does that bring in for the Omegamon users? What's new since GA? And then we'll talk about available resources and what the next steps will be for users who have not migrated to the converged product yet. And then at the end of the session, we'll turn it back to the moderator and open the session up for questions and answers. If we could move on to the next slide, please. Here we're going to talk about where does Omegamon XE for DB2 Performance Expert fit in the IBM monitoring landscape. Well, when IBM acquired Omegamon as a brand, and that was moved under the Tivoli brand, the Omegamon for DB2 and the Omegamon for IMS actually came under the DB2 Tools development team. So that's how we were able to do this convergence, because we had developers for PE and PM already working with the tools team, and so now the tools team owns the Omegamon for PE and PM for DB2. Let's go to the next slide, please. Over the last couple of years, we've talked about the convergence activities. What have we done with the Performance Expert and Performance Monitor products and Omegamon XE for DB2? Well, simply speaking, what we've done is we have combined the best of both products into one product. We've taken the Performance Monitor reporting and the Performance Warehouse capabilities and merged those with the strength of the Omegamon, which is the real-time monitoring and the integrated end-to-end user capabilities, with the XE, which is Extended Edition, and the classic VTAM interfaces. We've been able to reduce the number of data collectors that are necessary to be able to monitor multiple DB2s on a single LPAR. So that has helped our customers as well. It's a much smaller footprint in the different processors. And we also provide new unique functions to former customers of both products. At the bottom of the slide, you'll see where we have taken Performance Expert and combined that with Omegamon XE, developed a product called Omegamon XE for DB2 Performance Expert on ZOS, and the first converged product was version 3.1, and now version 4.1 is available. And then we combined Omegamon with Performance Monitor and came up with Omegamon XE PM. And the only difference between the PE and the PM products is whether buffer pool analyzer is included or not. Buffer pool analyzer can be purchased as a separate product, but if you own PM, acquire buffer pool analyzer, then you have the PE product. Let's go to the next slide, please. The Omegamon PE overview. Real-time monitoring of the threads so that you can see all currently active threads in DB2, connected threads, essentially. Get down to the thread detail. What's the NDB2 elapsed times, the CPU times, the wait times, your locks, statement counts, be able to actually view SQL statement text online, plan and package type of information, be able to monitor the triggers, the stored procedures, user-defined functions. Real-time monitoring of DB2 itself, the subsystem, EDM pool analysis, look at the different pools within DB2 storage. Virtual pool analysis, look at the logging. It has a detailed performance tracing called the application trace facility. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the presentation. You have your choices of interfaces. You have the XE, the Extended Edition Browser Interface, which is very flexible, very easy to customize, very easy to use. So every user can have their own look, their own view of the DB2 environment. You have the classic interface, you know, the black and green 3270 screens. You have a GUI interface available to you, again, which makes it more flexible to be able to view your enterprise type of data where you need to see everything that's going on in DB2, or maybe even get the end-to-end monitoring type of capabilities for DB2 Connect. Let's go to the next slide, please, and we'll continue with the overview here. Object analysis, be able to see the actual page sets that are being hit by the different SQL statements, be able to look at I/O counts, get page analysis, be able to correlate the activity by object and applications. That's one of the hardest things in DB2 is what is this application really hitting? Where's it getting the data? Is it an index? Is it a table space? Lock conflict analysis. Now, who's holding the locks? What type of locks are they holding? What objects do they have the locks on? Who are the waiters? Who's suffering from those locks, in other words? We have different types of history available within the Converge product now. The Omegamon users are very familiar with the near-term history that's available with Omegamon. And with the near-term history with the Converge product, you'll also get snapshot history so that you can get a longer view of what was going on in DB2. And when I say longer, I mean more time available because we're capturing and storing information in snapshot views. Historical analysis, you have batch reporting. Okay, so you can do your batch reporting from VCM datasets, from DB2 tables, or directly from SMF, or even from the data from the application trace facility. DB2 Plex monitoring, be able to see what's going on in the data sharing groups at a group level or at individual DB2 subsystem member levels. Automation capabilities are available to you. In other words, if you have an exception or alert or a warning, actually have the product take action for you. Notify an operator. Notify a DBA. Issue a DB2 command. Maybe issue an MVS command. A lot of flexibility on how you want to handle exception type of processing. Let's go to the next slide, please. Continuing with the overview, you also gain the Performance Warehouse, which is a DB2 database that's automatically updated with accounting and statistics information from the data collector. And you have the option of turning that off or on depending on your needs. You have a performance database that you can build, and as you run your batch reports, you can actually have the data saved into loadable format and load that into DB2 tables for further analysis. you would have the DB2 Connect monitoring capability, be able to monitor what is DB2 Connect doing, what are the users doing, going from the DB2 Connect gateway up to the host and back again, so that you do get an end-to-end view of that performance. With OmegaMon Performance Expert, you also gain the buffer pool analysis capabilities, the what-if analysis, actually see usage of the buffer pools, simulations of what happens when you change buffer pools. As I'd mentioned, you also gain the snapshot history so that you can view activity for a longer period of time. And, of course, the world-class batch reporting capability that was in the DB2 Performance Expert and Performance Monitor. Let's go to the next slide, please. Again, many of you may have seen this particular presentation and this particular architecture so that you have one server, which is the PMPE server running inside the OmegaMon address space, one place to capture the reporting information, the TEP, Tivoli Enterprise Portal, and then future user interface consolidation. And this particular chart gives you an idea of how the different pieces are going to go together once we finish the complete consolidation. Let's go to the next slide, please. The available user interfaces right now within OmegaMon XE Performance Expert or Performance Monitor, you have the Performance Expert client, which is a Java GUI running on everybody's workstations. You have the TEP, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, which is a browser-based type of interface. You have the classic interface, or the VTAM interface. So you have the black and green screens that are still very customizable by each user to get their own views. And right now, we still have the PM, Performance Monitor, Performance Expert, ISPF online screens available. Eventually, those will probably go away. All that information will be moved over to the classic interface. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, after that general overview, I'm going to start talking about what is new for specific product users. Okay, so right now we're going to talk about what's new for the Performance Expert and Performance Monitor users who are looking at upgrading to OmegaMon XE for DB2. Next slide, please. Well, here's some new things for our Performance Expert users. Now you'll have the classic, or what's called the VTAM interface as well. You'll have a portal interface. That's the TEP, and that'll be a totally new look for our Performance Expert users. You'll have near-term history, object analysis, the application trace facility, the CICS and IMS attached type of information available to you. So you're gaining a lot more information than what you previously had with Performance Expert. Let's go to the next slide, please. I've got a couple of slides here to show you what the classic interface looks like. So at the top of the panel, we show you the OmegaMon PE version, what particular profile you happen to be running with, the DB2 subsystem ID that you are looking at in this particular panel. And then you use a number or letter selections from this particular menu, for example, type S, and we'll take you to the summary of the DB2 activity, or you can tab down and select that particular option that you want to go to. Let's go to the next slide, please. And then say if you selected application monitoring, then you would come into the thread snapshot type of information for that particular thread. I kind of skip past the display that shows all the threads within the subsystem. But at the top of the screen, you'll be able to see that you can drill down for thread detail. You can drill down for the lock counters. And in this particular case, you'll see that I have some fields that are highlighted in red. And this is where we've actually defined exceptions. In this one case, we had total elapsed time exceeded our exception threshold, so we turned the field to red. So it's a very easy eye catcher to be able to determine who's got an issue or is there an issue with this particular thread. It saves you from having to dig through every field on this panel to determine if you have issues or not. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, within the application monitoring, you may also want to know about what objects were being used by a particular thread. Well, in this particular case, we went from the exception or the thread panel where we saw we had an exception that was met, and maybe we want to see, well, are we having issues with page sets? So we went down to the object level. We were able to see the space name. Okay? We were able to see the volume that it's on. How many get pages? What types of reads is it doing? What types of write is it doing? So it's very useful, very easy to get to. Let's go to the next slide, please. This Tivoli Enterprise Portal will be a new concept for the Performance Expert Performance Monitor customers, unless they have some other Tivoli products in-house that are using the TEP. And we were going to have a Tivoli Enterprise Management Agent. You have the monitoring server, or the TIMS. You have the Enterprise Portal server, the TEPS. And then the Enterprise Portal itself, the TEP, which is the browser-based end-user interface. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, just looking at the portal, the end-user interface here, it's a web browser interface. You have the easy-to-use browser controls, you know, forward, back, print, whatever buttons you have set up there. We have plug-and-play components so that different pieces of the portal server may be invoked using the particular buttons. You can personalize your views. On the left-hand side, you typically will have a tree structure that will show you the different OmegaMon products or Tivoli Enterprise products that may be providing information to the TEP. In this particular case, we have the DB2, we have an NVS, and here we just selected DB2. We customized our own view so that we see a bar chart for the Unix run times. We see a bar chart for the CPU times. We have processing times at the bottom frame of this particular window. You have intelligent linking. We've provided some linking for you so that if you select that particular object, it will take you to a specific display of your choosing or one of the default displays that we have. You can modify those links yourself so that if you change the display information a little bit, maybe you remove columns, add columns there, you can also add a new link to where do you want to go when you select that object. You have what's called splitter controls, which will allow you to actually set up more workspaces within the Tivoli Enterprise portal. So one of the examples is even starting the 3270 session from within the Enterprise portal. Let's go to the next slide, please. You can detect exceptional situations and events. We have defaults built for you. We'll even show you different colors once these are turned on. For example, say if you are looking at a display of all the threads that may be executing within a particular subsystem at a point in time, you can actually have where exceptions will show up on that particular display, and then you can select the thread that had that exception, maybe too much CPU time. And here we show one that's showing yellow, where the initial situation values in the middle of the screen here, it's showing yellow. And that probably means we set it up as just a warning. Down in the bottom right-hand corner of the particular panel, you'll see that there's some expert advice built in. Again, the lab provides a default expert advice, but you can also add your own. For example, if there are situations that you know that as a DBA you don't need to be called on, but you want to have it logged as a warning or exception, you can put a note to operations saying, do not call for this particular situation. Or if it's serious, you can have notes in there, take this particular action, call the on-call DBA. Or you can even decide to have the product take an action for you. On the left-hand side, the bottom of the screen, you'll see where it does say take action. You can name it. You can give it a command. You have a button so that you can open up a pop-up to add additional arguments into that take action. Write to operator will even have its own message number so that when it hits the console, then your automated ops package can take over and handle those exceptions as well. Let's go to the next slide, please. This is just a quick example of how to define a situation, and that's what we call the exception type processing. You create a situation, and then here we're going to take an automated action depending on what we have set up and what the situation will be. Here we're looking for an auth ID of Jen. You'll see that in the panel that's slightly behind. We have the CPU utilization set at a certain threshold, and we're also looking for a specific package name. Down at the bottom of that panel, you'll see that we have sampling interval circled as well. So you can control the sampling intervals from several seconds up to higher in the minutes or hours or whatever you may want. And then in the forward screen, the smaller screen here, you'll see where we have a particular syntax for a message so that you can define the way that you want your messages to appear, whether they come back to you or whether they're actually written to the operator or not. Let's go to the next slide, please. In this particular case, you'll see that at the top of this page that we have hit a critical situation, a high CPU, and then we also had one that was a warning. We have a screenshot of the operator console where we have a message that says, application DYNSELP1 had high CPU utilization. So there, it hit the console. Now we're able to have our AutoOps package take action or the operator take an action. You know, for example, notify the DBA that there is a situation that needs to be taken care of. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, another thing that the users of Performance Monitor will gain is what's called near-term history. The PEPM users are familiar with the snapshot history, where at certain periods of time, the product would take a snap of what's going on in DB2 and store that in a VCM data set. With near-term history, it is a continuous collection of what's going on in DB2. So that you have a record of all the threads that executed for a period of time, or you have the statistics, or the ZPARM. Okay? So looking at a situation online, and you need to see what were the threads that were executing right before this, or what was happening a few minutes before, what were all the threads maybe 30 minutes ago, you can go through near-term history and be able to see that and drill down for that information. Now, the snapshot history will be able to give you a longer period of time, because if you think about the size of the data that's being captured in near-term history, most shops can't keep maybe a day or so. You know, if you have larger DASD farm, maybe you can keep a couple of days, 3 days of data there. But the snapshot history will allow you to go back further in time to get a good overview of what was going on in DB2, what threads were executing. And while you can drill down in the snapshot history, it's not a complete look at everything that occurred for a short period of time like the near-term history is. PMPE users will also gain this object analysis. Now here, it actually is something that you have to start and you want to take a look at the object analysis. Most shops do not run this 24/7. This is problem determination. I need to see what the objects are doing for this particular threat. And then I can look at the objects. I can look at the table spaces, the index spaces, the tables, and see what type of I.O. was being done. The application trace facility. This is very similar to the Performance Expert, Performance Monitor, Collect Report Data capabilities. The ATF, you go from the classic main panel, option A, or out of the thread detail display. And again, this is something that's only intended to be run for a short period of time, because what we're doing is we're starting SQL traces, IO traces, depending on what level of information that you're looking for. So you could have quite a bit of high overhead on the thread that you're monitoring by starting the application trace facility. So it's mainly used for the SQL level, you know, taking a look at the flow of the SQL through the application. You can review it online as the trace data is being collected, and it's expensive only when it's started, of course, so you don't have to worry that once the trace ends, while you're looking at the trace data, that you're having overhead on the threads or anything like that. The data is saved in a data set, and we read from that data set. It's only while the trace is running. Let's go to the next slide, please, slide 22. Here's an example of some of the history data, the near-term history data panels. You can define a particular interval that you want to look at when you select these panels. So if somebody told me I had a problem with an SQL statement or with an application this morning, and it's now, say, in the afternoon, I can maybe select 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. for my interval and bring that into my particular displays. Now that I've got my interval, I can drill down and decide that I want to look at a particular thread at a particular time and get detail. You know, we just hit the PF11 and zoom in to get that detail for that period of time. Let's go to the next slide, please. Here's a short overview, just a one-page overview, for the different types of history for the different purposes. Many of you are probably familiar with the little chart right at the top of this particular page showing locks, and they're unlocked, and things are suspended, and, you know, where do we capture the data at? Okay. Now, snapshot history and short-term history are things that the product is doing for you. That's something that you actively turn on as a user. And then you also have the longer-term history, where it's SMF data or GTF data, or maybe it's a data where you started the application trace facility to an OP buffer and captured that. And down at the bottom is just an idea of where the history gets started and what the history is based on. So near-term history, you have the classic interface, and it's based on event traces. Long-term history, you have the reporting facility, the performance warehouse, and again, that depends on event traces, you know, like your accounting trace, your statistics trace. The snapshot history, that's used by ISPF, the online monitor, and the PE client can use that as well, that Java client I mentioned. And the short-term history, you have the TEP GUI, where that snapshot data is fed to the Tivoli Enterprise portal as well. Let's go to the next slide, please. Object analysis, I just wanted to give you a quick idea of the type of data that you can view within object analysis and how the flow goes through object analysis as you drill down for more information. So you would start off maybe at the bottom, objects used by a particular thread, and then you look at the thread information or thread activity, or you want to look at the volume activity. Thread activity by volume, and then you can drill to other areas within the information. Or maybe you want to look at it by thread activity by database, or maybe by space itself. Just show me all the table spaces that have had activity, and then show me the threads for those particular spaces. Let's go to the next slide, please. Here's an example of the panels for our object analysis, just two or three here. I didn't want to go through every one of the panels or try to fit every one of the panels on this page. That'd just be unreadable then. So, again, using the PF11 to zoom, you can go from looking at a particular database and then look at the spaces within the database and then be able to see particular data sets for those different spaces. And maybe we want to see a space name and what data set number of extents for that particular space. So you have a lot of real good information here. But again, it may not be something that you really want to turn on 24/7. This is more of doing immediate analysis, and then you turn it off a little bit later. Let's go to the next slide, please. One more example of the object analysis. This is just some sample screenshots with the zoom-in capabilities. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, that was the high-level overview of what's new for DB2 Performance Expert and Performance Monitor. Now, we'll be talking about what's new for the OmegaMon customers. What would you gain with the converged product, the OmegaMon XE for DB2 Performance Expert? Let's go to the next slide, please. One of the main things that you're going to gain with the Converge product is the DB2 Connect monitoring capability, where you're going to have different views of the DB2 Connect data. I mentioned earlier in the call that we start off at the gateway, and then we follow the thread to the host and back again. So you'll be able to find the DB2 Connect gateway information that's connected to the selected subsystem. You can look at the thread summary in details of the threads that are used in DB2 Connect. And then you can also look at the Connect Gateway information itself. You can even see what is running on the gateway as well as DB2 Connect and what tasks happen to be executing. It may not be an issue with DB2 Connect or DB2 itself. It could be a server issue. You know, maybe something is running on that gateway that's tying things up for you. Let's go to the next slide, please. An architectural overview of the DB2 Connect monitoring, where you'll see that we have the PE server, and I probably should change that to show the OmegaMon address space, but just think of the OmegaMon address space there with the PE server inside of it. So we have the DB2 Connect gateway, and we're using an agent that's installed on the gateway. It communicates with the performance warehouse. This is one case where if you want this information, you have to turn on the performance warehouse. So the agent feeds the information about the Connect gateway to the performance warehouse, and then the PE server will transmit that information to the performance expert GUI. Now, the Java client I was mentioning, and this information is also available in the classic interface. So if you drill down on a thread that is executing in DiskServe or is using DB2 Connect, you would actually be able to see that DB2 Connect information from the black and green screen. Let's go to the next slide, please. Display of data from different places. In this particular example, we are looking at the DB2 Performance Expert GUI, the Java client. You can get to the DB2 Connect information a couple of different ways. One is to start off at the thread summary display, which is a window that will show you all the threads that happen to be connected to DB2. Then you can go to thread detail, and then an option is to choose DB2 Connect information. You can also start off by selecting the actual gateway itself, so that we come in from the gateway, we can see all the Connect threads that happen to be running through that particular gateway. We can look at the number of packets that are going back and forth between the gateway and the host, so that the size of the packets, and get a good general overview of how the gateway is operating. And then you can also drill in the thread detail from the gateway level. So a couple of different ways of getting at it. Let's go to the next slide, please. You can get to it from the statistics detail as well. And so rather than starting off at the gateway level, maybe you come in the statistics detail. You ask that for the Connect servers or the gateways. We'll show you all the gateways that are defined to this. And then you can drill down into that for more of a subsystem view rather than a thread view of the data. Let's go to the next slide, please. As you drill down from statistics detail, you can get more and more detail about each one of those gateways. Here we selected the first gateway. Now we're looking at the statistics for it. What's the IP address, the node name? What's the server version? How many connections does it have? Did we have any waits? Are we waiting on DB2? Are we waiting on Connect? Or maybe it's an outside influence. Let's go to the next slide, please. Here we're looking at the statistics detail and the task list for that particular server. Remember, I'd mentioned that maybe it's not DB2 Connect, maybe it's not DB2 causing an issue. Just look at all those tasks that are running on this particular gateway, and it's possible that one of these could be causing issues for the overall gateway. Let's go to the next slide, please. A little bit more information about DB2 Connect. Here we started off at the gateway level, and then we display the information a little bit differently than we would, say, if we were coming in from the thread level. You come in from the thread level, you may be looking for different information than what we would show you as the initial display for the gateway. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, trace data collection. Within Performance Expert Performance Monitor, we called our application trace facility CRD, Collect Report Data. You have a couple of ways of doing the collect report data. One, you can go to the ISPF panel. And there's an option to be able to collect the report data, put it in your own personal data set, and then you can use that data set as input to the batch reports. In this particular case, we're using the GUI to collect this report data, where we're actually going to start a DB2 trace from the GUI, and it'll execute on the host. We tell it what data set we want the trace data to be put into, how big we want that, whether we want to overwrite or append. Now, here, this uses the performance warehouse as well. So, again, if you want to use the collect report data from the GUI, you're going to have the performance warehouse up and running for this to be able to execute. That component actually controls the starting and stopping of those particular traces. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, speaking of the performance warehouse, it's fully automated. When you decide that you want to turn it on, you get accounting and statistics information. It can contain both raw and summarized data from multiple DB2 subsystems. So you have, say, like your test and production, and maybe you want to have the warehouse over in test or something like that, so that you don't have multiple databases located across multiple subsystems and have to do a lot of joins to see the data. The server actually builds and controls the database. Okay. When you say, I want to turn the performance warehouse on, then the server will actually create that database. It'll bind the packages and plans that are necessary to be able to use the performance warehouse from the different components of OmegaMon XC. The performance warehouse client is actually the PE GUI, and it allows you to collect data from DB2 and be able to generate reports for it. In addition, different tasks can be scheduled and executed on demand. We provide rules of thumb that will look at this data, and maybe we are looking for high CPU usage for particular types of plans and packages. And we'll have a rule of thumb that says, look at the accounting data, highlight the particular threads that met this rule of data or met that particular exception too high of CPU. You can actually run your own SQL queries against that performance warehouse. In fact, the rules of thumb are written in SQL so that it's very easy for you to create your own rules of thumb. Every shop is a little bit different in how they monitor DB2. They have a little bit different need for this type of monitoring information. So it's very easy for you to write your own. You can even create accounting reports, statistics reports against that data, run it into the GUI, actually view that report from the GUI itself. It is a Java front-end client for the warehouse. It runs under Windows. It is integrated into the performance monitor client. It's essentially the same, and it does require some flavor of DB2 Connect. The input data is pre-processed data from the report facility, data that's been collected via the trace facilities, GTF data, or SMF data. Let's go to the next slide, please. This is an overview of the architecture, where we have the database, which will be named DB2PM, and that's your performance database. You're going to have your trace data in there, and you'll have summary or detail, whatever happens to be loaded, the accounting statistics. But things like the rules of thumb, we talked about scheduling tasks that could be run on demand, those are stored in that database as well. And then the OmegaMon server will actually handle the reading of those tasks, scheduling the tasks, executing the tasks. It also builds the database and maintains the data. And then you have the shared DASD, and you can have the input from DB2 trace data, the GTF data, SMF, that type of thing that can be fed through the OM server into the performance warehouse. Let's go to the next slide, please. Buffer pool analysis. If you migrate from OmegaMon XE for DB2 to OmegaMon XE for DB2 Performance Expert, you will get the buffer pool analyzer included with the Performance Expert flavor of the product. It collects buffer pool data and detailed data as well, not just about the buffer pools, but the actual page sets, the plans, and the packages that we're using those buffer pools. You can get summary detail reports online or in batch. You can run it continuously or in a sampling mode. So we have different reports and displays. You can look at the buffer pool, group buffer pools. We have the graphical end user interface. We also provide expert knowledge and recommendations, things like object placement recommendations. We can look at the buffer pools and say, oh, we think that this object would be better served in a different buffer pool. Or you can run your own simulations. Maybe you have an idea of what you want to do with your different buffer pools. Maybe you want to split indexes away. You know, small indexes here, large ones there, large table spaces here, large batch process type of tables in their own buffer pool. And so you can generate these simulation reports rather than you having to make a change one weekend, monitor it all week, and then make another change the next weekend, monitor it all week. The simulation can all do this very quickly for different buffer pool sizes and give you an idea of what would fit best where. Let's go to the next slide, please. This is an example of the object placement report where you tell the tool to either use just existing buffer pools or you can add your own buffer pools, set some rules. For example, maybe you want to specify that I want all my indexes to go to a specific buffer pool or I want this type of index to go to a buffer pool. We'll generate HTML format reports that will actually show you things like expected hit ratios at different buffer pool sizes. Now, so rather than you over or under allocating those buffer pools, you can see that at certain sizes, if you try to increase it anymore, you actually gain nothing. You don't get a better hit ratio by increasing the size of that particular buffer pool. So you can concentrate in a different area on a different buffer pool. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, reporting. Performance Expert Performance Monitor brings world-class reporting, the reporting facility, into the Converge product. We can take SMF data, GTF data, TSO data set. Maybe we collected it with the collect report data or the application trace facility. And we can generate a variety of customizable reports. And the difference, it says reports and traces, because we have trace format reports. And just so you know, the trace format is a straight look at the trace records itself. The reports are generally combined. You know, it's not a detail. Here's trace record one, trace record two. But we may be combining by plan or package or auth ID or some other way so that you're seeing more of a summary view when you're looking at the reports. Okay, so maybe we're running our accounting reports and we want to see it combined by time and package. And we'll summarize it so that each package that executed, then you'll see the summary data, everything added up for that particular one. Even a special report for the DSN ZPARMs, locking reports, SQL, IO, utility, auditing. A record trace is a very nice facility to be able to just dump straight trace records. Now, sometimes DB2 support will ask you for a record trace so that they can see what was occurring at that point in time for that particular situation. We have a very nice explain. You can do explain online or you can do an explain in batch. And then for the instrumentation facility component IDs, depending on the type of trace records that it was, we combine those together for you. Now, for example, in accounting, if you're using parallelism, then you'll have multiple IFKID 3s for a particular thread, and we'll make sure those combine properly so that you're not looking at multiple records for the same thread. We also have derivative counters. Those are things like hit ratio, where we've combined information and created new fields. You can customize the reports with different commands like reduce, include, exclude, from, to, summarize by, order by, or even we allow you to modify the report layout itself. And that's that tailor the reports online. Let's go to the next slide, please. A couple of different ways of generating the batch report. You can do it manually. We have an interactive report facility where it walks you through what you want to create, and it builds the JCL and the commands for you. You can also use the performance warehouse so that it's interactive using the PE client. Or you can do it indirectly where you use the SQL activity tracing, or maybe you invoke SQLPA, the cost and explain reporting from one of the panels. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, what's new since the Converge product went GA? Now, it's been 2 years now since we went with GA with Omegamon XE for DB2 Performance Expert. So let's go to the next slide and take a look at what's new. Highlights at a glance. Support for the ZIP processors. Okay? Online and in batch reporting, we have that support for you. We have the integration with the SQL Performance Analyzer from the Omegamon Classic interface. If you have a particular thread, plan, package, SQL statement, and you want to analyze that and you own the SQLPA product, it will go straight to SQLPA when you invoke that command. There had been some talk that the Omegamon CUA interface would go away, but right now the CUA, there's no plans to remove it from the product. That's going to stay around. And when it says on an as-is basis, it means that we're not going to enhance it really for, say, the newer versions of DB2. It's going to pretty much stay static and display what it displays now and not really have any enhancements go to it. The application trace facility, we extended the collection times that you can do. We externalized the flush parameter so that you can tell it I want to flush the data that's in the buffer. We've enhanced the thread overview so that there's additional locking information and more information about change pages and the group buffer pools. IFKID 225, that's the storage information about the DBM1 address space. They created a new option in the batch reporting that will allow you to output it into a spreadsheet format. In other words, comma delimited, so that you can load that into spreadsheets if you want. And, of course, since we support the spreadsheet output format, we also have reports for IFKID 225 that shows the current virtual storage usage below and above the 2-gigabyte line. Usability improvements, so there's a tab key usage on selected panels. You know, on the previous Omegamons, there wasn't very much tabbing that you could do at all. So we've started adding tab key usage to selected panels. There's a new data type that you can use, so save the accounting file in particular formats. With 4.1 of the Converge product, we also have what's called dynamic workspace linkage. Now, I've got a couple of slides on that for you. Agent versioning. One of the things about DB2 Connect is that a lot of shops have a lot of gateways for DB2 Connect. And it was a pain to have to go out and update each individual agent on those gateways. Well, now you can have the server determine, oh, there is a change to the agent, and automatically update each of the agents that happen to be connected to that particular server. National language support. And then when 4.1 came out, it was day one ready for DB2 version 9. Let's go to the next slide, please. Here's some information about the ZIP support for the DB2 instrumentation data. DB2 version 8, of course, had started the exploitation of that new specialty processor. And, of course, that's a System Z9 processor. So there's different types of data that will come out about the ZIP usage, whether a particular SQL statement was eligible to use the ZIP, whether it used the ZIP or not. And eligible threads, are there some parallelism that is eligible to use the ZIP? Their DRDA, the DB2 Connect, is eligible to use the ZIP. Certain index portions of the utilities, like load, reorg, and the rebuild, that work with the indexes are eligible to be moved to the ZIP for its work. So within the product, we have provided the information to read that instrumentation data and report on it online and in batch. Let's go to the next slide, please. This particular slide is just a little more information about that instrumentation data that we will provide within the different reports online and in batch. IFKID 3, 147, 148, 231, 239 will all show what was eligible and what was offloaded. We display it in what we call the ZIP CPU time, ZIP eligible CPU time. Let's go to the next slide, please. Dynamic workspace linkage. Omegamon for XE DB2, I had mentioned about having the different links to be able to move to different information display that you want. But one of the things that was hard was to really be able to bounce around within the TEP, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, to the different Omegamon products. So with the dynamic workspace links, now the navigation between the different Omegamon TEPs, you know, Omegamon MVS, Omegamon CICS, Omegamon IMS, it's now easier to be able to navigate between those individual, as you see here, called it silos. So this enables the cross-product diagnosis. Now, I'm looking at a CICS transaction. I'm looking at the thread that's executing in DB2. Well, what's it doing in CICS? Well, if we go to the next slide, here we have an example of some of that linkage that we have, where I'm able to go from the Omegamon XE for DB2 to Omegamon XE for ZOS, or to the Omegamon XE for CICS. So that will allow us to go from CICS to DB2 as well, okay? Or be able to look at the Omegamon for networking or the management console. So a lot of different ways of being able to get to the data. Let's go to the next slide, please. Here's a new change, and I may have to do another call on just this particular change at some point in time. I had a customer had a particular need where in Omegamon they had collected data, loaded it straight in the DB2 tables, and then they were reporting off of that. Well, with the PE components taking over the tracing and the processing of the trace data for application trace facility for the collect report data, that facility went away. If we go to the next slide, please. Here, you can see that a new batch job is going to be available that will allow real-time loading of data, trace data, into DB2 tables when we do collect report data. And one thing we found out is that doing this collect report data, because we're writing to the OP buffers, it's actually cheaper collection than SMF and GTF type of tracing. One of the things that has hit my mind is that maybe this would be a cheaper way of performing the functions without having to write DB2 trace data at all to SMF data sets. It's just a matter of your shop standards, something for you to consider. What this did was replace the Omegamon extractor, which was used to load data into the Candle warehouse. And the next two slides show an example of how this particular customer migrated from Omegamon for DB2 to the Omegamon XE for DB2 Performance Expert using the new collect report data. Let's go to the next slide, please. The current architecture, well, I shouldn't say the current, this is the older architecture, where the SMF data went to the extractor from Omegamon and then went into the long-term warehouse or the short-term warehouse. And then this customer had a web application that read that warehouse and performed different functions based on that information. They were also able to use ISPF applications for more details on their particular threads and their transactions. Now, when we go to the next slide, the new architecture is where we're going to take either our batch reporting or the ATF, the application trace facility, or DB2 load or something like that, take the SMF data, load that into the warehouse. But with the collect report data, that accounting file is the new format, and then we'll be able to take that, get it into a loadable format, and load that straight into a warehouse where this customer will be able to use their web application and their ISPF applications to view this data. Let's go to the next slide, please. So, the value points on the new Converge product is a very strong product. We support the dashboard edition of Omegamon so that with all your different Omegamons, the information not only from Omegamon XE for DB2, but MVS, CICS, the networks, all can be viewed from one panel, end-to-end business impact monitoring. You get exceptional functionality for DB2 performance monitoring and analysis, your DB2 Connect monitoring, integrated trace reporting and displays, your Sysplex support, DB2 data sharing on the PE client, event exceptions, situations, detailed DB2 deadlock and timeout analysis, automatic take actions based on rules, exceptions, thresholds, the situations that you define. You get trend analysis, proactive tuning. You directly link the CICS task from the DB2 threads. It's easy to use. We have the fast start actually built into the TEP. And once you get the TEP up and running, we have those default displays, the default situations set up for you. And plus, it's very flexible, easy to customize, and a lot of very nice filtering capabilities, because not everybody wants to view all the information that's available in the panels. Maybe they're only interested in a specific application, and they can set a filter to do that. Standard performance monitoring, the usage scenarios actually help save the system resources. So we have certain things that are only activated on demand, like the near-term history or the object analysis or the application trace facility, so that you don't have things running all the time causing high overhead in your system. And, of course, we've got day one support for the new releases of DB2, and we've merged two great teams, the OmegaMon team and the PEPM development team, which helped really make a strong investment for IBM. Let's go to the next slide, please. Summary of functions, your real-time monitoring, your trace collection, your reporting, the performance warehouse with the expert analysis support, your buffer pool analysis, and again, expert analysis with the buffer pool analysis, if you go with the performance expert component. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, what are the resources and next steps based on this particular presentation? Well, if we go to the next slide, here's the bibliography for the OmegaMon XE for DB2 Performance Expert Performance Monitor. We have the different manuals, manual numbers listed for you. And if we go to the next slide, please, additional resources. One thing I want to point out is that you see the red book, a deep blue view of DB2 performance. Excellent red book. I've looked through it several times. And it's got a lot of good information, and it is set up similar to this presentation that you'll see what's new for OmegaMon users, what's new for Performance Expert, plus some practical applications. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, the next step to move forward from either being a DB2 Performance Expert Performance Monitor customer or an OmegaMon XE for DB2 customer is contact your IBM sales specialist on how to be able to move to the Converge product. If you don't know your sales specialist, please contact Sally Tuscany. You have her number and her IBM email address. So feel free to contact Sally, and she will make sure that you are put in touch with the proper individual. Let's go to the next step, please. The next one is the questions. So let's go ahead to the next slide, and I'm going to turn it back over to the moderator.
Thank you, Doug. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us. We do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. And now our first question. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to signal. Our next question. Was the level of technical information presented in the teleconference at the right level? Press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, we'll pause. Third question today. Have you seen improvements in the efficiency of your DB2 environment using Tivoli OmegaMon XE for DB2? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. If you haven't used Tubliomegamon XC for DV2, press star 3, and we'll be right back with our final question. Our final question today, we hope that you have enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, please press star 1. If no, press star 2, and we'll be right back to take your questions. At this time, and that does conclude our survey. Thank you all very much for participating. Now let's move to your questions. To ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone at any time. And at this time, I'd like to turn the call back over to Doug while we wait for your questions. We do have a question today coming from Norman Wong.
Yes, I want to know if you're going to integrate the Tivoli product with the DB2 version 9 optimization center.
Integrating with the optimization center, I'm not quite sure where the plans are for that because it is relatively new. And all I can say right now is kind of watch this space for future announcements there. Sorry, I didn't have a better answer.
All right. Thank you.
And there are no further questions in the queue at this time, but once again, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone, and we'll pause for a moment to allow you a chance to signal. And there are no further questions. Mr. Clifton, I'll turn the call back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay. Well, I just like to say thank you, everybody, for your time. I know that doing these type of things in the middle of the day can interrupt your work schedule a little bit. But before we sign off, I'm going to turn it back over to Sally Tuscany real quick, and then we can go ahead and end the call. And thank you again.
Thank you very much, Doug. That was fabulous. We appreciate all of your information and all of your expertise in this area and your product knowledge. If anybody does have any questions after today's call, after you have a chance to think about it, please contact Doug or I directly, and we'll be glad to help you out. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Once again, thank you all very much for joining us. That does conclude the presentation. Have a great afternoon.